We're concluding our series today on revolutionary parenting. And I believe the number one priority as Christian parents is to raise our children to be spiritual champions. I want to repeat that. I believe the number one priority we have as Christian parents is to raise our kids to be spiritual champions. You see, as parents, you have been entrusted to care for and equip your children for life in the real world. And that is an unbelievable responsibility. Someone has said, children are the one thing we leave behind that will tell the world what we were like. That's the truth, but it's also very scary. So the question is, how do we download our faith and values and guide our children and prepare them for the real world? Last week, as my wife and I were sharing together, we said that many of us as Christian parents have the wrong goals when it comes to parenting. We want our kids to make good grades or go to the best college or excel in sports or choose a career that makes a lot of money or be popular with their friends. And there's nothing wrong with any of those, but those are not the primary thing that God's called us to do as Christian parents. God's goal for our children is to develop godly character. And so how do we then raise spiritual champions? We must learn how to prioritize our values and then communicate, model, and build those values in the lives of our children. You see, every child that leaves home from your family, they know the values that were most important in your family, whether you told them so or not. I want to do something a little different today. I'm going to ask a couple questions, and I want you to take about 30 seconds, and I want you to discuss it. If you're together as husband and wife, I want you to discuss this question. What would your children say are the two main values in your family? If you're single, what are the top two values in your life? If you're grandparents, what would your grandkids say are the two most important values in your family? Go ahead. You can just start talking. You got 30 seconds? Talk with that. Discuss it. I want us today to look at three core values that I believe are really important for your family. The first is knowing and serving Jesus. This is a life value and not a religious value. Please notice I did not say, are you religious? Do you go to church? Are you a good church member? Do you drop your kids off in Sunday school? Do you say your prayers at mealtime? I believe without a doubt this is the most important value in your life and your family. It's so important. It is the core value of the whole Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe, tells us more about how to raise children, spiritual champions, than any other passage in the Bible. And as a mom and dad, I would encourage you to look at this passage over and over and over and let it be the benchmark for your parenting. Deuteronomy 6 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I tell you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Would you underline that? Impress them on your children. Well, how do you impress values on your kids? Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down. Talk about them when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead or on your neck. How do you make this core value a reality? First of all, I think you have to be intentional. It says what? Impress. Be intentional. Impress these values on your children. Decide in advance the impression that you want to make on your children about the importance of Jesus Christ. And I think one of the key things that we can do is to impress upon them the importance of worship and serving. My wife and I received, from my opinion, a head start in life. And the reason we received a head start in life is both of our parents were God-fearing Christians. They served faithfully in the church for 50 years. I can't even remember missing 2 weeks out of a year in all 18 years that I grew up at home, because on Sunday, everything shut down. And my dad and mom said, church is first, God's first in our family. Everything else is on hold. That is our number one priority. And so that is a value that was huge. Serving was another value because I saw them lead by example every week for 50 years. They, whether they realized it or not, they impressed those values. They were intentional about transferring their love for Jesus Christ to us. I want you to know that one of the most difficult decisions I ever had to make as a parent happened when our son Paul was in the seventh grade. Paul was an incredible athlete, incredible soccer player. In the seventh grade, he played in 18 tournaments across the United States and played in three foreign countries in the seventh grade. He was an incredible athlete. But you know what? My wife and I, after that season, we sat down and we said, you know what? We're giving our son conflicting messages. We have told him the Lord and the worship of Jesus Christ is more important than anything, and yet he missed 18 Sundays that year from traveling with a traveling select team soccer all over the United States. And I made the toughest decision I've ever had to do as a parent. I took him out of soccer. Because I said, son, we are giving you conflicting messages. And I wanted to what? I wanted to impress upon him to reestablish the core value that knowing and serving Jesus Christ is more important than anything else in our lives. What impression are you making on your kids? You see, statistics say, we have statistics of parents that drop your kids off in the children's area. The average person comes to church at CCV 1.5 out of 4 weeks a month. What are you saying to your kids? You're not saying to your kids you love Jesus more than anything. You're saying worship is optional in my life. And I will be to church as long as nothing else is more important to me. What impression are you giving your kids about Jesus in your life? First of all, you got to be intentional. Impress them upon your kids. Secondly, be informal. That's because values are caught more than they're taught. That's why religious education was life-oriented, not information-oriented. Jesus didn't take the disciples for 3 years and open a textbook and say, okay, guys, here's what we're going to study for 3 years. He what? He shared his life. It was life-oriented. That's why the truth must be in you before it can be in your children. And that's what I love about Deuteronomy 6. It is basically life-based. It is informal transferring of values. What does it say? Talk about these values when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you get up, and when you lie down. May I add, when you're riding in the car, when you're watching TV, when you're walking in the mall, when you're playing on the computer together. You see, if you want your children to follow God, then you've got to make God a part of their everyday life experience. We've got to see God in every aspect of our life, not just in our church life. That's where I think we struggle as Christian parents. We see God as a part of what we do once a week, but we don't take Him into our family, our business, our values, our sports, our activities. In other words, instead of being 24/7 Christians, we're 1 out of 7 Christians. It's just one day a week where we incorporate Him into everything that we do. And so be intentional. Secondly, be informal. Just let it happen out of the natural outflow of life. Number three, be inspirational. Don't preach or force feed Jesus to your kids. I made some mistakes there. As a pastor, I knew I was supposed to do, you know, devotions for my kids. And so when they were little, we'd have devotions and they'd go, oh man, another sermon. We just had one yesterday. It didn't go that well. I'm shooting straight. I had to quit it and say, what is a different way that we can get these values transferred? You got to realize that your children are going to go through different levels of faith. Prominent theologian John Westerhoff has identified 4 levels of faith. These are not in your bulletin program, but I'd encourage you to write these down and see where you're at. He said the first level of faith, level 1, is experiential. We understand God through the experiences of those close to us. In other words, we watch mom and dad, and we watch their faith, and we say, how are they experiencing it? Level 2 is association. We seek belonging through groups. That's why moms and dads, it is so important you get your kids involved in our youth group here at CCV. That they have this peer relationships of other young people that are sharing and experimenting with their faith. Level 3 is searching. That's where our faith is tested. That's where a lot of us, that search level happens what? In college, where we go away from home, and for the first time, we are professors and people saying things to us we've never heard before. Level 4 is owned. That's when you now have a personal faith instead of a parent faith. And I really believe for most of us as Christians, we don't have a personal faith. Our personal faith is from our parents. It's from CCV, it's from Starting Point, it's part of what Pastor Don believes, it's what we hear on Christian TV. It's not a personal faith, and that's why it is so difficult for us to stand up and share our faith in the marketplace, because we're really not sure what we believe, and when people ask us questions, it rocks our world. So we're not going to talk. I want you to know the first year of my full-time ministry, something happened to me that I'm so thankful it happened, but it rocked my world. I was in a little first church, about 100 people, a little town of 2,000. Everybody knew everybody. One particular week, I was preaching. This gentleman showed up. Nobody in town had ever seen him before. Afterwards, nobody knew who he was. I don't know whether he was an angel sent by God or what. But he walked out, shook my hand, because I always stood at the back of the church, you know. That's what you do when we used to grow up in church, and everybody come out and lie and tell you it was a really good sermon, Pastor, while they were sleeping, you know what I mean? And so he came out, I was there, he shook my hand and said, could I visit with you this afternoon? Well, I was young, I wanted to reach everybody in town for Jesus Christ. I didn't know who he was. I said, come on over. He came to my house for between 2 and 3 hours, and he asked me questions about what I believed that nobody ever asked me before in my life. Professors had not asked me that. My parents had not challenged me. He challenged me to the core with everything I believed. And you know what? I'm so thankful for that. Because I realized for the first time in my life, even in full-time ministry, I had to own my faith. Do I believe this really because I believe it? Or do I believe it because my professors told me, or my parents told me, or my church raised me? I want you to look at those four levels and say, where are you? Because until you own your faith, it is not real, and that's why it's difficult for you to pass it on to your kids, because you're not really sure what it means to you. It is not personal to you. You see, our goal as parents is to pass the baton of faith to our children so that when they leave home, they will establish their own faith and their own family. And this is something that some of you been around know we did this, but some of you that are new, I asked my son and daughter-in-law to bring this to me. January 1 of 2000, we sat down, and my wife and I, and said, man, what can we do for our grandkids to let them know that our kids are followers of Christ, and we want them to pass that faith on to their next generation? And so we had these made up, just a little, you know, relay race baton. And on it, it says, this one says, from Don and Sue to Paul and Paula, my son and his wife, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9, right, what we're talking about here, and 1 Corinthians 15:58, my life verse. And we said to our kids, would you please take this and put it in a visible place in your house so that your kids can see it? And when your kids see this baton, they say, Mom and Dad, what is that? You can say, this is a faith that was handed from your great-grandparents to your parents, and they handed it to us, and it's our desire more than anything else that you kids develop your own faith, and when you have your families, you pass it on to your kids, and so on. It is a visual reminder. It's no big deal, but basically it is what? It is a visual for them to understand that we're going to try to be intentional, we're going to try to be inspirational, we're going to challenge them to find out ways that they can transfer their faith. What are you intentionally doing to transfer the values of knowing and serving Jesus Christ? I want to ask you that. I want you to take 30 seconds to talk about that. Are you having family time together? Are you reading your Bible together? Are you having a family meal like the Warners where you discuss together? Or are you serving in the church alongside your kids and having them model it? Would you take 30 seconds and say, how are we intentionally trying to transfer this value of knowing and serving Jesus Christ? Go for it. If that's nervous for you, just talk out loud by yourself and it'll make everybody else feel better. Again, I want to say, parents, as Christian parents, your number one responsibility is not good grades or excelling in sports or being liked by their friends. That's okay, but your number one responsibility is get to your kids to love and know and serve Jesus Christ. Second core value is building and rebuilding relationships. Life is all about relationships with others in your family, in school, in your church, at home, at play. The Bible tells us often how to build relationships. Some of those, Romans 12, honor one another above yourselves. Ephesians 5, submit to each other out of your reverence for Christ. Luke chapter 6, pray for those who mistreat you. Now, why in the world are relationships so important in transferring a value? Because relationships have to come before you set down the rules. Maybe you've heard this, rules plus regulations minus relationships equals resentment, rebellion, and resentment. Rules and regulations minus a relationship ends up equaling rebellion and resentment. Now, that's why relationships got to come before rules. If you're a parent, you know that. Because you can say, I'm the parent, you do this. These are the rules. If they don't respect you or follow you, they're going to rebel. If you're a coach or a teacher and you're a positional authority and you say, do this because I'm over you and I'm going to tell you what to do, it won't hold water. Because there's no relationship that you have built together. Ephesians chapter 6, that's a misprint in your bulletin, it's not Ephesians 5, it's Ephesians 6, says this, children, obey your parents. Now this is good stuff, moms and dads, you can go home and say to your kids, hey, listen up, you're supposed to obey me, the Bible says so. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. Honor your father and mother. Some of you are saying, I was raised by parents that I don't honor that much. I mean, they weren't that godly. Listen, whether they're godly or not, you must still honor them. Because if you do not honor your parents because they brought you into the world, you will have major problems of resentment and bitterness as you get older. That says what? Honor your father and mother. This is the first of God's Ten Commandments. That ends with a promise. What's the promise? If you honor your father and mother, you will have a long life full of blessing. How do you instill the value of building relationships in your children? The first, it takes a lot of time. And I don't want to argue and get in discussion, is it quality time or quantity time? The answer is both. The key is today, we don't spend enough time with our children. This was so different for me raising in a rural environment. I chored every morning 2 hours with my dad. I chored 2 hours every night. That's 4 hours a day. You have plenty of time to get the values transferred. When I moved to the city and with my kids, it was much more difficult because we didn't chore together. So how could I get involved in their lives? I'd coach their teams and so on. I want to say to you today as parents, you have a more difficult job in Phoenix than even I did here 20 years ago. You know why? Here's the reason. According to USA Today report, young people ages 8 through 18 use electronic media 53 hours a week. That is 7.5 hours a day. They're on cell phone, iPod, video games, computers. Our young kids today have a full-time job of messing with the media. What does that mean? That says to me, that's why in love I want to say to you in the evening, you got to have them turn off those cell phones, turn off those computer games. You better set a time when, I'm sorry, we're not doing this anymore tonight, and we're going to sit together and talk as a family, because if they are 7.5 hours a day being impacted on media, you're not going to transfer biblical values to your family. Somebody else is. And so you've got to understand that it is crucial today, and it is incredible. 53 hours a week. So how do you spend more time with your kids? For some of you, that may mean that you come down off the corporate ladder and you start building some family bridges. It may mean that you turn down a $50,000 raise to another part of the country so that you can stay at home and continue to build stronger relationships with your family. The final analysis, what's more important, that your house is over 3,000 square feet or that the people inside simply know each other? What is more important, that you have the latest kitchen appliances or your family can eat together? What's more important, that you have a state-of-the-art entertainment center or that you know how to sit down and carry on a conversation with each other? I want to ask you, when is the one time each day when your family builds relationships? It takes a lot of time. Number two, it takes a team. You got to work together as a family, whether you're a single mom or a husband and wife together with your kids. You've got to develop a team atmosphere. You got to tell them to stick up for each other. Now, the question is, well, who do you put first, your children or your spouse? And I don't want you to go to either extreme. There's got to be some balance there. But in my opinion, your marriage must come before your kids. You know why? It's because your wife will appreciate that, all right? Here's the reason why. I was married before I had kids, and my kids are gone, and I'm still married. And that's why the priority has to be on that, and that's why so many people get divorced after about 20 years, is because when the kids come along, the emphasis shifts from the husband-wife relationship, and the kids are the center of everything, and then you wake up about 20 years later, and you go, I don't know you. Because everything has been centered on the kids. That's why I believe the best thing you can do for your children is to love your spouse. And in my opinion, My opinion, families are today are too children-centered. There should be a lot of amens on that one. That is. I look around. Moms and dads, you're running nuts trying to keep all your kids happy. The children are too much the center of our family. And if we have child-centered families, we will raise self-centered, insecure children. And so you got to teach your family, growing up, we're all working on this together, we are developing a team. It takes time, it takes team. Thirdly, it takes trust. Psychologists say the number one fear that kids have today is not drugs, it is not sexually transmitted disease. The number one fear that kids have today is that their parents might get a divorce. And if you don't believe me, you talk to your youth pastor, and they will tell you story after story that will break your heart. Stories of hurting kids that will say more than anything, I wish my mom and dad were still together. Parents, a strong and loving marriage is one of the best gifts you can give to your kids. Now, listen carefully. Many of you have gone through divorce. Children also need to know that relationships can and do break down. And when you go through those struggles where the relationships break down, the answer is not to throw away the relationship. It's not to pout. It's not to blame. It's to try and talk it through and move ahead and say, what can we learn from this so that we will not make the same mistake again? Number four, if you're going to build relationships, you got to talk. Children must be able to see their parents work through conflicts. Now, I love my dad a lot and my mom a lot, but you know what? I never saw my mom and dad argue. I wish I would have seen that. I wish I would have seen, how in the world did you guys work through some of those disagreements so that when I got married, I would have had a little test case of how in the world do I have to work through this as well. I'm not saying you argue and throw a fit in front of the kids. I'm not saying that. I'm saying healthy communication, working through conflict, I believe is necessary for your kids. You see, if we're not careful, we do one of two extremes. One is we yell at each other, we throw things, and we walk out. Or the other family experience is you don't talk it out, you keep everything inside, and you pretend that everything is okay. Neither is right. Every marriage has difficulties. My marriage had difficulties. And healthy relationships are those that work through their conflicts. Now, you say, well, man, what do we do? We're not getting past first base. You know what you do? You go see a Christian counselor. I had to do that because if my kids were in that junior high age, we weren't connecting well. I wasn't with my kids communication-wise, and I said, whoa, we need some help. And so we went to a Christian counselor for two or three sessions, got everything back on board, and worked through that. And I want to say to you dads again, I want you dads to step up because most of us men are afraid to admit we got problems, and the wife is always the one that has to make the call for a counselor. Dads, it's vital if you're struggling in your marriage with communication, if you're struggling in your family with communication, don't be afraid to admit you got some problems and go to a Christian counselor and get some help. Number three, knowing and serving Jesus, building and rebuilding relationships. The third is developing character. Who's teaching character development in our families today? Is it Hollywood, the government, MTV, neighborhood kids, gang members, the school, the church, or the family? Character development is the responsibility of the family. Understand that. It's not the responsibility of the church or the school or the coach. They are to reinforce the character development that you set as your parents. Now, what's character? Character is that uniqueness that you have as a child of God. God made you special. You don't believe me? Look at the person next to you and say, I thank God I'm not like you. All right? And they're going to say the same thing to you. I thank God I'm not like you. And God made it that way. We're all unique and special and different. And the struggle comes is when we try to look like, talk like, act like everybody else. You see? God made you with character. You're unique and different. Character is what God says you are. Your reputation is what other people say you are. 1 Samuel reminds us of this. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Every time I read that scripture, I'm convicted. You know why? It's much easier for me to look at outward appearance than the heart. I can look at outward appearance of somebody and make an evaluation in about 5 seconds, but to get to know their heart takes a lot more time. And that's why I'm wrong in that. And that's why God said, you know what? There's a lot of people that spend so much time and energy on their outward appearance in our culture today that they still rot from the inside out. They got a rotten heart. You know what? Beauty is only skin deep, but if you got a Christ-like heart, that is valuable and precious to God, and it becomes more valuable the older you become. And so that's something I have to learn, all of us have to learn, not look so much in our culture on the outside and realize that God looks at the heart. How do you develop character in your children? Hands down, number one's by example. You practice what you preach. You know why? Because parents, your kids are watching you like a hawk. They know if you have integrity. They know if you're generous. They know if you lie. They know which movies you rent from the store. They know if you cheat from your employer. It's tragic today. According to Pure Life Ministries, listen carefully, 50% of Christian men struggle with pornography. And 20% of Christian women struggle with pornography. I didn't say unchristian people. I said Christian people. We cannot put our heads in the sand. Moms and dads, my opinion, I believe you should know everything that your kids are watching. I believe when they say, this is my cell phone, this is my Facebook, it's none of your business, then I'd say, you don't have a Facebook or you don't have a cell phone. You have a right as parents, in my opinion, to know everything your kids are doing. In fact, you should be aware of what they're sexting, of what they're watching. But you know what? They have every right to know what you're watching as well. And some of you as parents need to have somebody accountable in your life that protects you from pornography, because as a church, we cannot put our head in the sand and say, oh, this must be some other church that has a problem with pornography. It's not the men and women that go to CCV. We are dealing with this more and more in our church of Christian men and women that are struggling with pornography. Let's be real. Let's get some help, because our kids are watching us. We cannot deceive them. It will come back to get you. George Barna found this in his research. It's unbelievable. 75% of all adults in America reject the notion that there is absolute moral truth. 75% of adults say, no, there's no such thing as really true all the time. 80% of teenagers today say there's no such thing as truth. And we got to be careful, because parents, we'd say, what's wrong with the kids today? Nothing. They are modeling what mom and dad believe. And that's why we have a problem in our culture today when 3 out of 4 American adults say there's no such thing as truth. If the Bible is not truth and the Bible is not the absolute word of God, if 3/4 of us believe it's up for grabs, we're in trouble. Because that's what happens when everybody does what's right in his own eyes. And I want to tell you, the Word of God is truth. Until we as parents base our life on the Word of God and truth, you cannot give a biblical moral foundation to pass on to your kids. Because it's situation ethics, it all depends, and that does not work. Inconsistency destroys character development. Don't miss that. Inconsistency destroys character development. You cannot tell your kids one thing and you live another way. It will not work. Remember, your values are caught more than taught. We develop character by example. Number two, with encouragement. If we're going to raise positive kids in a negative world today, they need encouragement and affirmation. And there's so many of you kids here today, and so many of you adults, that were raised in incredibly dysfunctional families, and you have done incredible things. And I want to say, praise God. Great job that you're hanging in there and you're making a difference. I believe people need encouragement today. Now, let me tell you something. I'm so thankful for the elders of CCV. And several years ago, when our kids, our oldest two, were in high school, I went to the elders and I said, you know what? I've observed something as a parent. I've observed when kids start sports and activities about 5, 6, and 7, all the parents show up. They're obnoxious. I wish some of them would stay home. All right? They think it's All-Star Week when their kid's 6 years old. Okay? And I said, but I've noticed when I go to my kids' activities in junior high and high school, there's almost no parents there. And I said to the elders, you know what? I need your support. I've always put on my calendar all my kids' activities, but I want you to know the next 3 or 4 years, if there's a priority, a conflict between a church activity and my kids, I'm going to be there for my kids no matter what. And that's one reason I think my kids today love Jesus and are in full-time ministry, is because we tried to affirm that. We tried to encourage them. And I want to say to you moms and dads, listen, you need to readjust your schedules to be there for your kids' activities in junior high and high school. Now, are your teenagers going to tell you they want you to come? Trust me, they won't. It doesn't make any difference. Listen, my heart, it makes a difference. They know who's there. When they get ready to do their program and they look out and when their eyes see you, their expression changes. There is self-confidence that's incredible. And I want to say to you moms and dads, as your kids get older, really think about making that a priority. Give them it by example with encouragement. Also, number three, with insight. Moms and dads, we got to understand what's going on in our culture today. That's why I'm old school. That's why that cell phone, there's sexting going on. They're sending pictures to each other. And if you think you're a sweet little child, that doesn't happen, be careful. You got to have insight. You got to know what's going on. You got to read. You got to watch. You got to go to events at school to find out who your kids are running with. Some of your kids might even be running with kids that go to our youth group that are the wrong kind of kids. I'm sorry. You got to know the parents. You got to know the family of who your kids are running with. That's important. My opinion again, about a month ago we had a funeral for a young man. He used to go to our church in high school, had a car accident, was killed. And there was probably 1,500 kids here from this area, and that was phenomenal. But you know something that's just jumped out at me? I'm sure there was not more than 50 to 100 parents that were here. And in my opinion, moms and dads, you missed an incredible life-teaching opportunity. And you say, but I'm working. It would have been worth a half-day vacation leave to be here. Because if you would have seen the way those 1,500 kids were dressed, you would have never let your kids out of the house again. I'm shooting straight. Wait. Don't clap because you might not get me. No. What a better time to be here and experience a funeral of a high school classmate and to sit down with your kids and talk about, this is what happens when you choose your friends. This is what happens when you make a wrong decision. This is what happens when you just got to be real careful, because you never know that one decision could make the difference between life and death. And I want to say, moms and dads, you see, it's those informal life-setting situations that take advantage of them, because they rarely come along, but when they come along, if you use those correctly, it will teach volumes of your values. And so I want to say to you, keep reading, keep watching. We need insight today to understand what is going on in our culture, and our culture is moving farther and farther away from Christian values, and that's why as moms and dads, you're going to have to work harder than even I did to raise spiritual champions, because there's more forces working against you, and that's why we want to partner with you and do everything that we can. You see, if we don't teach character development to our children, someday it's going to come back to haunt us. You've got to say that honesty matters, that lies will not be tolerated, that courage is important, that we must face our fears, that generosity is a lifestyle, that loyalty is a virtue, and virginity is cool. Moms and dads, don't throw up your hands in frustration. Don't throw in the towel and let your children run the family. Hear my heart. I love you, but I see too many of you. You are running yourself ragged to please your kids and give them everything they want except that biblical foundation in Jesus Christ. Your kids are not in charge. They don't know what's best for them. God has placed you in a situation to teach biblical values to your kids, and don't drop the baton. Don't let them be in charge. You know what's best. So trust God and open the Word of God and trust God's Word to give you the encouragement and insight that you need to make a difference. Just like Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua said, choose this day who you will serve. And every day you and I got to make choices. Not with our lives, with our kids. What choices are we going to do with our kids? And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm so thankful that my mom and dad, it was not optional. They said, you know what? This house, we're serving the Lord. We're going to church. This is the way it's going to be. My kids, we raised them to have good grades, to excel in sports, to develop character. But the number one thing is we said Jesus Christ is going to be first in your life. Moms and dads, would you recommit yourselves today to put the Lord first in your life, in your marriage, in your family? Our theme for 2010 is Step Up. So I want to say, moms and dads, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Step up. You can raise spiritual champions. You can pass your baton of faith to the next generation. As we close the service this weekend, we're doing something a little different. I'm going to ask all parents of junior high and high school kids and all junior high and high school students, would you come forward, and I'm going to pray for all of you. If you do that, every service, moms and dads, junior high and high school parents, and also if you have your kids with you in junior high and high school age, bring them right up front here, and let's pray and get some help in this. You know what? This has happened every service. This has blown me away, the number of junior high and high school students and parents we have in this church. This is a high priority for us. That's why we spent $20 million on youth and children's buildings out here, because we believe it's crucial. Come on around the sides here. Come on around. I want to say a couple things. Number one, to you kids, you junior high and high school kids, you're winners. You're special. And I want you to understand that. God made you because you're unique and you're different, and He wants His thumbprint all over you. And so don't worry about dressing like, pleasing like, talking like, acting like everybody else, because God didn't make you like everybody else. He made you to be you. And I want to encourage you, you can be spiritual champions, and you can be difference makers. And so you need to know when peer pressure comes and they tell you, all your friends, you know, say, man, we're doing this, why can't you? And you know your mom and dad say we have different standards. You know what? You need to be proud that your parents are willing to set standards for you that are different from everybody else. And don't resent that while you're young, but appreciate that, because that will give you the self-confidence that you need to live for an audience of one and not to please everybody else. Now, moms and dads, I'm so honored that you're here in this church. You have an incredible investment with your kids, and you're entrusting us to work together with you to partner in raising these kids. So the first thing I'd say is make sure your kids are in the youth group here at CCV. You make sure they go to school. Make sure they're in the youth group to get some godly values so we can come beside you and help you, because you're going to need all the help that you can. And I want to say to you, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. You are making a difference. Remember what I said? James Dobson said teenagers are at that tough age where they're almost ready to go over the edge of the cliff, and our job as parents is not to push them over the edge. Okay? So, you know, they're going through a lot of hormone issues, a lot of struggles, a lot of changes, and your stability in Jesus Christ and your stability as husband and wife will do volumes for your kids during these difficult years. So hang in there. You are making a difference. Don't listen to everybody else telling you what you need to do to be parents. You sit down and determine those godly values, and you say, we're going to do this no matter what, and it will pay dividends forever. And I look at this, you know, and if we're not careful, sometimes we complain about what's going on in the public school. Listen carefully. We can do whatever we want with the public school. Look at this. We got an army. If you don't like what's going on, let's go there and make things happen. If you don't like the values that are being taught, don't whine and complain. We got Christian teachers there. Let's pull together and say, we're going to make some changes. You know, we can do it here. You know, we're the gang, right? And so let's do it. And so don't be afraid. We're past time, and I didn't tell this illustration to anybody else, but I'm going to tell it to you. I'm serious. My youngest daughter was in high school, and she had a teacher that got up and said to her, basically, I went to Rocky Point over spring break with some former students. She was a female teacher, went with former male students, and she was sharing that to the class, and it just bugged my daughter to death. And my daughter came home and told me about it. And what did I do? I called the principal, and I said, you won't let my daughter talk about Christian values in the class. I don't want your teacher talking about her immorality in front of my daughter on the weekend. Now listen, I'm not trying to stroke myself. I'm saying, if you don't like what's going on, get in there and stand for Jesus and make it happen. We can do that. That's what God's... That's enough of that. All right, let's pray. All right? Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for these families. We're raising spiritual champions. And there's some kids here that are going to be taking the gospel to their school, to the factory, to the office. They're going to build churches. They're going to be missionaries going all over the world. And I praise God for these kids. I pray that they would keep Jesus deep in their heart. I pray as moms and dads that we would understand the most important thing is not good grades. Those are fine. It's not making varsity. It's not being who's who. It is knowing and serving Jesus Christ. May we model that for our kids. And may we do everything we can to help them to love Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Hang tight. Next week is Mother's Day. Secondly, I mentioned to you that this fall we're going to start some family groups where we want you men to step up and get together with your kids and lead neighborhood groups as an option. For those that want adult groups, fine. But for those that want neighborhood groups, I want to tell you that's the most important decision I ever made, is to get involved in family groups when my kids were growing up. And to some of you men, we had over 100 go out last service and sign up. If you'd want to be trained, I'll train you to do that. We're going to start in the fall. Go out to the information area and simply say your name and family neighborhood group, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll share with you how you can be spiritual leaders, moms and dads, for your own kids. It'll be awesome. Thank you for being a part of CCV. I pray this series has blessed you. God bless you. Have a great week. Go get them.